Well, I need to confess to you that since our first chapel 2 weeks ago, when our theme verse was unfolded, the Romans 1:16 passage that talked about not being ashamed of the good news, the gospel, I couldn't get that off my mind. And I began to think about how has my life shaped up in the reflection of that verse? Over the course of my life, have I been ashamed or unashamed? Have I lived a life that would reflect good news? And so I want to talk to you a little bit about my journey, and I want to talk about a couple of people that have had tremendous influence on me in terms of how important it is to be about the good news. You know, I grew up in Southern California in a Christian home. We went to church every Sunday, did all the stuff that lots of you do. And had lots of opportunities to pray to receive Jesus. But when I was 12 years old, our church decided to participate in a big event that was being held at the Los Angeles Coliseum. And Billy Graham, you know, the pretty famous pastor that just passed away a few months ago, he was going to be speaking for 4 nights at the Coliseum. And so our church decided we're going to take our church bus, and we're going to go down there we're going to go Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. And my parents were involved in the church to the point where they were going to go all 4 nights, and so they drugged me along with them. And so the first night, Billy Graham spoke, and if you've ever heard him speak, at the end he gives an altar call, and we're in the Coliseum, and so people could actually walk down to the bottom of the Coliseum and pray with somebody to receive Jesus as their Savior. So I sat there Thursday night and I listened to it. And I sat Friday night, Wednesday before that, and on Saturday night, at the same point in the sermon that I'd heard the 3 previous nights, I felt like somebody ejected me from my seat. Because at the moment that he asked if anybody wanted to come down to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I popped up. And that was the night that it was the largest crowd in the history of the Coliseum. There were 100,000 fans there. And we're sitting way up high, and my mom and dad are sitting in these seats, and I didn't say anything to them. I just pushed right past them, and I went down the steps all the way to the bottom. My mom was scared to death. What's going to happen to little Ricky? So I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior on that night. Okay, that was an example of not being ashamed. I mean, I just stood up and went for it. Didn't think about it. The Holy Spirit, I believe, was calling me. Didn't hear his voice, but it just happened that way. Well, about 3 weeks later, I'm at my house. It's a Saturday. And way back in the old days, the mailman used to deliver your mail right to your house. He walked up, and everybody had a little deal on their door, and they pushed the mail in through there. And I'm inside the house, and I'm with some of my buddies, and the mail comes in, and my mom says, "Rick, you have something here in the mail." Dude, it's like the first time in my life, you know? So I go over and she hands this to me, and it was a Bible and a letter from Billy Graham, you know, and some information about what I could do with if I wanted to continue to kind of learn about being a Christian. And my friend said, "What is that?" And I went, I don't know, just some stuff. Now, why was I ashamed? What was that? Why did I do that? I didn't want my buddies to know that I just prayed to receive Jesus, my Savior. I just had the best news. I had good news. I had the salvation opportunity. I could have told them right then, "Dudes, this is what happened to me the other night. You need this too." But I didn't. I didn't. I wimped. And the only way I can explain that is that I had to have felt ashamed. I don't want you to know what I got in the mail. Well, because I didn't show him, it passed quickly. Now you fast forward that, and now I'm in high school, and I have a youth pastor that somehow thinks that I have some leadership ability, and he starts encouraging me to be involved more in our youth group and to be a leader. And as a result of that, in my senior year in high school, I'm part of a group that goes to Palm Springs during spring break, and we talk about Jesus. We have this mini concert area where we do a concert every night for a week, and at the close of the concert, we've been trained to talk to people about Jesus. Okay? I didn't hesitate. I was in on that. The next year, I'm a freshman in college, we go to the beach, Hermosa Beach, Southern California. Same gig. I didn't hesitate. But then I lose a basketball scholarship because I have a knee injury that makes it impossible for me to play. And what happens? I get mad at God. Why did you do that to me, God? And so I decide I don't want anything to do with you. And so if my parents made me go to church, now I'm in college, I went into the college department, and I messed with the college pastor. That's the kind of shame I must have felt. I'm embarrassed to tell you that. Well, then I meet this young lady right over here. I'm pointing at my wife, by the way. So we get married. Okay, it was a long time ago. Some of you know that if you start adding up the years, my girls are in their 40s. You start doing some math. Here's what you need to understand. When we got married, I was 9 and she was 13. That's not true. Okay. So we get married, and we have these two little girls. After a few years, we're 26 years old. She gets diagnosed with cancer. We have two little girls that are both under the age of 2. The cancer's in her leg. Doctors tell us that that's a cancer that moves quickly. They're probably going to have to amputate her leg. This happens fast. The tumor was growing inside the tibia. Shin bone. It was about the size of a golf ball. It had broken through the back of her tibia and had infected the joint of her leg. And so we're prepping to have her leg taken, and her doctor calls us one night and says, "I have an idea. I'd like to try something that hasn't been done before. I'd like to take a section of tibia from a cadaver and transplanted onto Barbara's leg and see if we can save her leg. But I have to know now." There was a naval officer, a female naval officer, who was killed in a helicopter crash in Bethesda, Maryland. And it was a match. And so we did it. And she was in the hospital for months, lots of concern about infection. But when she came out of that, she told me, she said, "Rick, God saved my life. I need to tell people. I need to tell people about him." Well, a few months later, she went in for a routine checkup, and they did a needle biopsy, and the cancer was back. And this time they said, "We have to take your leg. We don't have a choice. It'll be in her organs if we don't allow it to take something soon." And so an older guy in our church came to me and said, "Rick, Have you thought about having the elders come to your home and pray for Barbara, lay hands on her? And they did. And I don't know why it happened this way, but it did. She had the surgery, and it was supposed to take about 4 hours, and it took nearly 12 before I was able to see her. But when I got to the room, she still had her leg. And when the doctor came in, I said, "What happened?" And he said, "We don't know." Before we could take her leg, we had to start testing all the tissue. And when we tested the tissue, this is a long time ago, so they had to keep sending it to the lab. All we could find was fibrous tissue. Well, I said, "I know what happened. It's a miracle. God healed her." So as a result of that experience, I can't tell you how many times that she's never ashamed of the gospel. She looks for opportunities to tell people about Jesus. We've been in restaurants. I remember we were in a restaurant some time ago, and sitting behind me, she's over here in the booth, and behind me are two ladies talking, and one of them is in distress, and the other one's giving her some kind of crazy advice about how to handle her distress. And Barbara says, "I have to go talk to her about Jesus." And I said, "No, you don't." Okay? I'm ashamed of that. So we finished eating, and I said, "Let's go." And she said, "I'm going to go talk to them." And I said, "I'm paying the bill." So I rolled over to the cash register. I paid the bill. She's kneeling down talking to this lady who's crying. And she's telling her about our church. And she's telling her about her leg and what God did. And the lady has questions. And she says, "There's my husband. He's in charge of a Christian school. He'll come over here and pray with us." And at that instant, I didn't want to do that. But I did. We had another occasion where we were in Palm Springs at a pool, and every day there was a young guy that came out to the pool, happened to be a gay guy, we found out was dying of AIDS. Barbara got to talking to him every day. And he finally came to a place where he wanted to talk about it some more. He wanted to pray to receive Jesus. And so he asked us to come to his room because he wanted his roommate to know about it too. And so we went to this guy's room. And as soon as his roommate found out what we were doing, his roommate got angry. He started to swear at us. He started to yell at me. But we held hands. And we prayed for him. All the while, his roommate, his friend, shouting at us and swearing at us. Okay? Not ashamed. We found out sometime later, it was a place that we like to go on a weekend from time to time. Just a few months later, he passed away. But he got the good news. You know, my granddaughter, I have a granddaughter that's a freshman in high school now. But when she was about fourth grade, she decided that she needed to talk to my brother about Jesus, my brother Gary, who's 2 years younger than me. And so she started talking to him about it, and he didn't like it. He'd be polite to her. She was unashamed. She had good news. She wanted him to know. And so she'd pray with him when they'd go to lunch. Sometimes she'd take her to lunch. She'd pray with him. She'd say, "Uncle Gary, I want you to go to heaven." And so one night, after she'd been doing this for a couple of years, he called me one night and said, "Rick, would you please tell your granddaughter, to stop talking to me about Jesus? He says, bugging me." I said, "Well, that's kind of the idea, Gary. You know, we want to kind of bug you enough where you listen." I said, I'm not going to tell her to stop. Well, several months later, my daughters were walking to church, and standing inside the church is my brother Gary. "Uncle Gary, what are you doing here?" Okay, now we're living back here. He says, I think it's time for me to see what's going on here. Now, he grew up in the same home I did. My parents modeled a Christian life. We went to church every week, but he rebelled. That afternoon, my daughters called me, Dad, you can't believe what happened. Uncle Gary was at church today. He cried the whole time. He cried when they sang the worship songs. He cried during the sermon. He called me that night to tell me what had happened. He'd been there. I said, Gary, did you make any decisions? He goes, I'm gonna check it out again. The next week, he went back and he prayed. Now, some of you know, that just a little more than a year ago, my brother got real sick. He got real sick and he died. Got the good news. See, my granddaughter was unashamed. She was not ashamed. She had good news that she wanted to share. Somebody gave me a book a few years ago, called Just Walk Across the Room. The whole idea behind that book is to not be ashamed and be willing, first of all, to develop a relationship with somebody. Be friendly. And that friendliness invites the opportunity for you to be able to talk to somebody about Jesus. And so, I'm not as bold as my wife is in terms of looking for opportunities. But when a relationship occurs and I have an opportunity to talk about somebody and give them the good news, I will. And that's what I want to encourage you with. That's what we're talking to you about. It's the kind of news that's about that, as Mr. Scheid reminded us 2 weeks ago, it's a moment of decision, and then it's a process that follows. And that's something that's available to all of us. The process is what develops the purpose and the hope in our lives. And that's what we want for you. And that's what I want for you. And seniors, would you stand up, please, just real quick, and then I'm going to close. Just the seniors, would you please stand? I kind of like the way this plays out now. You know, it used to be you're all right down here, but now you're spread out and so everybody can get a good look at you. Okay, I wrote you guys a letter before school started. Each of you received a letter from me. And I challenged you with something. I challenged you to be the influencers, the leaders on this campus. And I gave you a verse, 1 Timothy 4:12. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in your faith and your conduct and your love and your purity. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Provide that kind of influence because you have it. So if you'll stay standing, I'm going to close in prayer, okay? Father, thank you for our student body, this faculty that loves these kids so much. Thank you for these seniors and for the influence that they have as the lead class on campus. I pray that you'll inspire them to want to share the good news, to live the life that would inspire and influence others to want to talk to them about you. And I pray that for our students here, Lord. Thank you that you put some people in my life that provided me with an example that allows me to be far more serious about sharing the good news than I once was. Thank you for this time, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.